Dhyanashraya, Prabhu. Some question?
Yes, first question is from Khananjaya Prabhu, Gupta Govardhan, Chiang Mai. Yes. So, first question is from Shyamvilas Prabhu.
All right.
Because Khananjaya Prabhu may maybe he will later.
Yes.
So, okay. The process of self-realization means the process of finding your true self. How can we learn to tolerate our present fake self in this process? I feel like tolerating yourself is much harder than tolerating the environment around. Tolerating myself is much harder than tolerating the environment.
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj has said, when you're in the mud, to come out of the mud, you may have to walk through the mud for some time. So, we're reminded daily, repeatedly, of our sangskar, or put another way, is our lack of sangskar, of a proper developing background. Also in Gita, Krishna says, udared atmanatmanam, atmanam avasadayet, atmoeva hyatmano bandhur, atmoeva ripuratmana. The mind can be one's friend in self-discovery and self-realization on the spiritual path, or inimical, it can be enemy, distracting one, deviating one from the path of self-realization, self-discovery. So that implies there has to be a certain amount of vigilance. We have to be on guard for such things. Again, Krishna telling Arjuna, cautioning him, warning Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita about how the mind can degrade one. So, on the one hand, we don't want to be too tolerant about this fake, false, misconceived self, but we can't just wish it away either. So our strategy is by remaining in the association of the Vaishnavas, trying to serve and associate, that gradually some transformation will take place. In one sense, to recognize that aspect is healthy, to understand that it's not really, truly one's identity. There's some hope in that. It may be disappointing to recognize that or to see something ugly, but from another point of view, to know that that's not ourselves actually or substantially gives some hope for transformation. So, in Upadeshamritam, Rupa Goswami saying, Utsaha nischaya darya tat tat karma pavartanat. Sango tyaga siddha. Shadbir bhakti vrinashi. No, proceeded. Yeah, I forget. But that we'll have to be enthusiastic, patient, determined, and honest, candid, and not defensive, not defending something that's not worth defending. It's where ahankar or false ego comes in, defending a misconceived notion of self. So as we hear from Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav, and that resonates in our hearts, then a superior concept of prospect of self awakens. Krishna bhakti nitya siddha sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chite koroye udoi. So awakening to an eternal prospect, an eternal identity. So at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and in the association of the Vaishnavas, we're hopeful. Yes. Another question?
Sometimes I noticed like I'm doing so. Sometimes I can use Maha Mantra to help get some help in practical service to Guru. For example, to make my mind more calm or to get some insights. Is it proper, approach to Maha Mantra?
I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Sometimes I...
No, the last sentence about approach. Did you say, what is the proper approach?
Yes, is it the proper approach to Maha Mantra? And what is the proper approach?
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj is always placing the emphasis on service. That, like, you could say in the Das Aparad, that one of them is said to be to use the holy name to free us of sinful activity or undesirable things. That means to take service from the holy name. So we've been cautioned against that. And Guru Maharaj is placing his emphasis on service. So I think what you describe, we can understand from an analytical point of view, these are some of the beneficial side effects of Maha Mantra, but it's not the central idea. The central concept will always be service. We know in the example of Madhavendra Puri, when Gopinath, in recognition of his devotion, is supplying kheer. On the one hand, he's elated. On the other hand, he wants to escape the name and fame that accompanies miraculous event, that the world will go out that he's a great devotee, that he's distressed. When he was thinking about the prasad of Gopinath and how it might give some insight to the seva of Giridhari and Vrindavan, of Gopal, he, upon more careful scrutiny of himself, he thought, oh, on the plea of service to Gopal, really I want to enjoy. He was ashamed of himself. Now, if we're looking at that, we don't question his motives ever. He's Madhavendra Puri. And, you know, the seed of this special type of Krishna Prem first appears from him. So he's cent percent dedicated to the extreme. But then we'll say, but such a person, he's suspicious of his own motives. So we, in examining why we do things, we will be cautious about taking service from the holy name that you mentioned particularly, and other things as well. We don't want to find ourselves in that situation. Rather, we're always aspiring servitors. So, for example, Guru Maharaj says, when taking Krishna Nam and distracted, rather than continuing in a distracted mind inattentively, that one would stop and do some sort of active service that would refocus and concentrate the mind, and then approach the holy name again to serve in the proper way. Because if we say, as we do in the scriptures, say, the holy name is identical to Krishna, in that sense, it'll become a little more clear. We don't want Krishna to serve us. We say, well, Krishna, help me to control my mind. Then the response comes, God helps those that help themselves. We have to take some initiative, expend some energy, demonstrate some discipline. So, but we may think, like, hearing the scriptures, Chaitanya Charitamrita or other such literature, we may think, oh, you know, allow me to focus on these things, and the side effect will be relief from worldly mindedness. Told more specifically, that's part of the effect or consequence of Gayatri Mantram. Right? To relieve the mind of worldly mindedness. We see Raghunath Das Goswami wrote the Mana Shiksha, right? These prayers to the mind. You can see the sort of things expressed there. But it's really always at the core is a service based aspiration. Another question?
May I add something?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So when we want to get some help to serve our guru, in service to our guru, where should we ask, whom should we ask for it?
We're praying to Guru and Vaishnav, like the we just sang the prayer, Krip, Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya. Right? Says Yogyata Vichari Kichu Nahi Pai, Tomar Karunasar. What was the line about Shakti Budhihi Ami Ati Din? I'm so fond, but you can give this to me. For us, Guru and Vaishnav are everything. So we think, by the grace of Guru and Vaishnav, we can do any particular seva. So that will be our prayer. But again, not in the sense that some there'll be a surrogate, someone else will do this for me. No, we're just thoughtful, prayerful, and whatever undertaking there is. Like Srila Guru Maharaj would mention, one of the most ancient mantras there is from the oldest scripture, Rig Veda. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suraya Deviva Chakshuratatam. Vishnur Paramam Mama. So before any Brahmins, but the spiritually inclined, before they would undertake any activity, they would offer this prayer to the Lord saying, your lotus feet are like the sun illuminating the sky. What the activity we're about to engage ourselves in, let it be under the brilliant, shining, illuminating effulgence of your holy lotus feet. Let us proceed with that in mind. So you see, whenever Vaishnavas undertake any type of activity, they're always offering some prayer to Guru and Vaishnav first. Like, Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Paragamam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsta. We see this prayer and its structure. It comes from Kaviraj Goswami. And similarly, when any Vaishnava begins some spiritual work, we see it particularly in the books of the Goswamis, they're always offering some prayers and invoking some auspiciousness from the Guru Varga. Sometimes the Guru Varga, Krishna and his associates, the holy name, they're praying, they're invoking auspiciousness. But then the onus is upon them to perform that seva. As we've said, to be inspired means to be influenced by another. So spiritual inspiration means to come under the influence of the Lord and his paraphernalia, his devotees. When devotees are asked or commanded to offer prayers in Gaur Lila by Mahaprabhu, whether Murari Gupta or in some other instance. First, Kolavecha Sridhar also comes by. First, they're saying, I have no capacity to properly glorify you, only you can do that. Worship the Ganga by offering Ganga. So the devotees first say, I have no capacity to glorify you, only you can really glorify yourself. I say, oh, Krishna, only you can do that. In your expansion as Ananta, with thousands of mouths, your glories are stored, the treasure of your glories is stored in the mouths of Anantadev, who's been trying to glorify you since before the beginning of time and hasn't exhausted your glories. So what can I say? But that in itself is a prayer. You see, by saying, only you can glorify yourself, invoking Anantadev, decrying one's own position, that becomes a prayer. And if something wonderful or extraordinary comes, what is Kaviraj Goswami saying? It is not I who am writing this. Some higher power has descended and is moving my hand. By the grace of Madan Mohan, these things are being expressed. Sanatan Goswami, also Gurmars, had said, who am I to analyze the queens of Dwaraka? But some higher power is descending and making me write these things. The point being, the devotee is never overly confident in their own position. And that's not just advice for neophytes or beginners. It's there in the highest. So that indicates to us that it is an eternal aspect of higher reality. Even Mahaprabhu himself, after he expresses so many divine sentiments when that lasts sometimes for 9 hours of trance, he comes out and says to his devotees, "Did I say anything unusual?" Or in one place he says, what did he say? Ami Chaitanya. It's like a pun. He said, "Am I conscious? Am I Chaitanya?" He's afraid, oh, maybe something was said. Many things were said. They observed many things, divine things. He's thinking, something inappropriate came from me? When Jayadeva Goswami, here he's writing his poetry and comes to this line where it's about Dehi Padapallavam, Padapallavapavam, Udaram, that Krishna and their divine love quarrel, Krishna's falling at the feet of Radharani, approaching her lotus feet to beg forgiveness. Then what does he think? He shudders. This, too much audacity has come to me. How can I dare to write such a thing? The Supreme Entity, he's on his hands and knees going to touch the feet of to beg forgiveness. He shudders to think maybe I should take a break. He's suspicious of where this is coming from. Is it my ego, my poetic, my desire to be a poet, to show my skill, my intelligence, my capacity? He thinks better go off and calm down. So he goes to bathe, and what do we hear? That Krishna takes the form of Jayadeva Goswami and comes and writes in his own hand, Dehi Padapallava Pavam Udharam. Then he comes out, Jayadeva's wife, thinking it's Jayadeva, serves him prasadam. He goes, then actual Jayadeva comes back from bathing, his wife's eating. And the system, then the wife will serve and afterwards take. So now she's taking prasadam and Jayadeva's confused. What are you doing? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing? You finished your poetry, came out, took prasadam, and he's more confused. He goes in the room, sees written what he hesitated to write, thinking maybe it's not coming from a divine place. Maybe it's tainted with my ego or some other thing. See how refined the thinking of the highest devotees are. He could think, no, I'm Jayadeva Goswami, arguably one of the greatest poets ever. He's not thinking like that. He's in the highest position and he's suspicious of himself. That type of perfectionism is what it is desirable. So he realizes that Krishna has done this, and that Krishna has come and eaten also. Now he's very eager to get some of those remnants from his wife, Padmavati. Madhavendra Puri is suspicious of his motives. When the birthday of Sanatana Goswami, Prabhu came, and Rupa Goswami from a girl nearby village obtained some nice milk to make some kheer, some such thing. It's a surprise Sanatana Goswami with this nice offering. But Sanatana Goswami is a connoisseur of rasa and taste that is of a particular quality. So tasting something of this unique, extraordinary quality. He questions Rupa, where did you get this? And Rupa Goswami says, from a girl nearby, perhaps Yavat. Sanatana Goswami saying, find that girl. Rupa Goswami goes searching, cannot find that girl. When he returns with the news, Sanatana Goswami, his heart is mortified. He's thinking, what have we done? Whom our hearts, life's aspiration is but to serve her holy lotus feet. We have accepted service from her. Srimati Radharani, as Das Goswami has written in Bilapakusamanjali, Asha Avare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratamhi Tvam Chet Kripam Mayi Vridasha Srinayiva Kimme Prane Vrajena Chaboro Rubakarinapi. Saying, my aspiration is to, why I live, the reason I exist, right? Is an aspiration for Radha Dasyam to serve her holy lotus feet. However remote the capacity, that's the aspiration of everyone in the Rupa Nuga line as declared by the Prayojan Tattva Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a service aspiration. He's saying, without which, all these other things are of no value to me. Beginning with what is generally considered to be the most valuable thing, one's life, pran. My life is valueless, meaningless, of no worth without this connection. Then he takes it a step further because that's the general consideration. But what's more valuable than one's life? What could that be? Braja, Vrindavan. And Bhaktivinoda clarifies that. Radha Padman Kitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. Really Vrindavan. Don't conceive of Vrindavan as Krishna alone. Again, this is being hammered by Das Goswami and in the line. Saying, Radha Padman Kitadam Vrindavan. What is Vrindavan proper? Embellished by the lotus feet of Radharani. That means, in a metaphorical sense, Radha Dasyam, where that's the place, that's how it's defined. So he's saying, so more valuable than my life, Vrindavan? Of no value to me. This is what he says. And then he says, takes it one step further. Baroru Bakarinapi. Bakarinapi. Baka. Baka Ari. Saying, without you, Krishna, who should be reality the beautiful, ecstasy personified, sweetness personified, whose body is a festival, the limbs of his body, Vishvesha Manoranjanena Janayama Ananda Mindivara. Krishna, without you, Guru Maharaj said it in this way, he said, I know it is a shameful thing to say, without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. What does all this mean? This is supposed to be the, you know, Hare Krishna movement, right? Krishna consciousness. And the leader and the Prayojan Tattva charge of the Rupa Nuga line is saying, without Radharani, Krishna is a dreadful thing. And another place, Guru Maharaj said, without Radharani, Krishna is like Brahma. Shyamalila avalambam yadamiya mahima sri bhagavatam katayam pratipadam anubhutam apya labdabideya tadakila rasamurti shyamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha pada padmam prapadye. Although ostensibly her name is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, At every step of the way, it's meant to take one in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet. So whatever anxiety or suffering we have to accept on our part in connection with this service aspiration, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that's my happiness. Like they have the cliche saying, labor of love. So everything will be achieved if we can redirect our thinking along these lines. Self-oblivion without self-extinction. That brings the ultimate self-discovery. Servitor identity. It's built on service aspirations. Units of service aspiration. As the body's biological expression of the soul's delusion, the swaroop is the spiritual form of devotional aspiration and serving tendencies. So raso varjam raso pyasya param drishvani vartate, by redirecting our focus on what is superior or higher, automatically it's withdrawn from the lower thing. Any other question?
So Maharaj, I think good this type of question, because here is all devotees, then but maybe it's right time and place to ask these questions. But because your disciples ask this question again and again about what your what is it important to keep close relationship, personal relationships with spiritual master, and what is your personal opinion about this subject and relates with your disciples?
Well, and my personal opinion is that Sri Guru and His grace, which is, that is Srila Guru Maharaj speaking on all of these subjects. And that is the source of the answer to these questions and the standards that we seek. So Guru Maharaj repeatedly speaks about according to one's inner awakenment is how they will conceive Guru. He's placing his emphasis on the substance, right, that we detect. The inspired side of the Vaishnava is Guru. He's placing his emphasis there. There's only, what we call Vani and Vapu. Vapu. Some personal, physical, proximity type association. That will always be limited to a few. Everyone, even those who have personal service, you'll find in time, as I've experienced and all of my God brothers and God sisters, that most of your time will be spent apparently in separation from Sri Guru. So for those who are overly dependent on personal association, that will be very difficult to sustain. When I met Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur left the world in 1937, January 1st. And I met Srila Guru Maharaj first in 1978. That means, well, let's just say, 40 years after that. So, and then you can say for another 10 years. So 50 years, he was with Srila Saraswati Thakur, I mean, during his manifest pastime, from 27, for around 10 years. Then 50 years of another type of association. And when I was with Srila Guru Maharaj, I had a choice. I thought, should I can stay and be with him and record him and be with him as much as possible? But after some time, I got the inspiration to distribute what I was getting. And he actually, that's what he preferred. He gave himself as an example, saying, what I should not follow. Meaning, he said, I wanted to collect the maximum from my Guru Maharaj, and I did, but my tendency for distribution was not so great. He said, but you, what I want you to do, you will extract from me and then go distribute that and then come back and extract some more. Gadadhar Pandit wanted to stay with Mahaprabhu. Guru Maharaj told me this in my last meeting with him. But Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar Pandit, or Rupa Goswami, but he also told Gadadhar Pandit earlier, stay in Puri, when he told not to go to Vrindavan. But with Rupa Goswami, he wanted to stay with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, my order is that you, Sanatan, you'll serve in Vrindavan. There's some service for you there. And in pursuit of the necessities of that seva, you'll have my association. So these are the kind of things that Srila Guru Maharaj emphasized. And the days of when we were in ISKCON with Srila Prabhupada, it's a fantasy of the devotees to like be Prabhupada's servant. The time of Srila Gurudev, Srila Govindamur, the people, they want to be around him as much as possible. Guru Maharaj, he's only keeping a few to attend to his needs, another type of thing. But still, people thought like that. But Srila Prabhupada had, you know, arguably, I don't know, 10,000 disciples. And every one of them wants to be with him. And as I told once, when I had a fantasy, as many other devotees did, of being Prabhupada's servant, I got to be a servant for around 15 minutes once. And that was enough for me to understand I should not be Prabhupada's personal servant. And I think other people understood that too. So I was thinking, for me, I worked at the press, and I thought, this is a good position for me to be. So, one devotee, they thought, he loves serving in Puri so much. The leaders thought, he's very attached to this place. So they called him in, and they told him, you're being transferred to Mayapur. They wanted to see the look of disappointment or attachment on his face. And he was like, Harivo! He was happy to go there too. Then they realized, oh, it's just the way he is. Wherever he is serving, he gives it his all. So sometimes that association will be there or some personal service, sometimes not. It's painful. Mahaprabhu, he's telling his devotees after they leave Katwa, when he takes sannyas and they're making their way towards Puri. First, he is wandering in divine madness. Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Vadan Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendranandan. We're told the love and affection in the heart of Mahaprabhu's devotees, he cannot escape its gravity. So he's going in a circle, like. But then when it's time to head to Puri, at a certain point, maybe, what is it? Atarana? I forget which place exactly, but he goes alone. And it's very difficult. We can imagine something. You're so happy to be in Mahaprabhu's association, then he's saying he's going to leave the group and go by himself. They want to die. Nityananda Prabhu assures them, being who he is, Nityananda, and he knows everything, that he'll meet us again. You know, he only by faith in Nityananda can they bring themselves to accept Mahaprabhu's will. And they're thinking, but they know Mahaprabhu, Krishna, who can challenge or contradict his will? It will happen. But for their hearts to accept it, their faith in Nityananda allowed them to do that. So really, we're aspiring servitors. So when the call comes to do some particular seva, we try and answer that call as best we can. Whether it's personal service to Guru and Vaishnav, or we're being sent away, we're to offer ourselves in service. But of course, we will value any interaction we have. Srila Prabhupada used to give himself as an example. He said that he didn't meet with Srila Saraswati Thakur more than 10 times in his life. Think about it. The person who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, says he met with his guru 10 times, 10 meetings. And some of those meetings were like a darshan. There's Saraswati giving a talk, Prabhupada's attending the talk. But we can say with absolute certainty that in Guru Maharaj's words, that Srila Prabhupada with Saraswati Thakur was always living in the relativity of his Gurudev. So it's a mysterious thing. But Guru Maharaj is always placing the emphasis on the substance side of things. So we don't want to impose our whims on Guru and Vaishnava, or from the lower upon the higher. That won't be helpful to us. Rather, we're offering ourselves as an instrument to Guru and Vaishnava. And sometimes we're to stay at the side of the Guru, and other times to serve at a little distance or in separation. As long as the service connection is there, we're safe and connected. Another question?
Maharaj, to stress upon these personal relationships with your guru, is it some type of egoistic sin, some type of bad sin?
Well, it depends on how you define personal. So, as I said, Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj says, he associated with Saraswati Thakur not more than 10 times, but I consider they have a very personal relationship. He's always in the zone of his guru. So to be in physical proximity is not necessarily to associate. Again, an example given by Guru Maharaj, she said, like bed bugs, you know, lice, right? You know, they bury themselves in your skin. He said, so in terms of association, you can't come any closer than that. He said, but the consciousness of the lice and the consciousness of the person, they're worlds apart. Then the inverse is true spiritually. There may be some separation, but in terms of consciousness and heart and devotion, they may be intimately, extremely intimately connected. When we read the Acharya's commentaries, like say Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, we're reading something there. It's awakening a particular type of devotional consciousness in us, and we feel some connection, and we're happy to make that connection. So then we think, oh, this is why Bishwanath Chakrabarti is such a renowned, exalted, glorious Acharya, when we see this is the heart of Vishwanath, and it's real and living. When we read that, we don't think, oh, he wrote this some hundreds of years ago. It's taking in us into a plane that's living. So however brief or momentary, that glimpse, that touch with that sort of divine substance, that's the eternal present, that's the plane we want to be. They're not stories, Guru Maharaj said, Jiva Dharma. They're not stories. These are different kalpas. When someone is asked a question in Jiva Dharma about Anarpita Charim Chirat, some explanation for this, I forget who it was, like Paramahansa Babaji. The answer comes from someone who says, oh, when I was in Vrindavan, I asked Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, and this is the answer he gave. That means, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's penetrated into a plane that's real and living and dynamic. It's not a story or something that happened in the past. This only in this world is there a past. Past, present, future, that kind of thing. That's the world of time and space. There's so many restrictions. Like for those under the influence of time and space, these things are inconceivable. When sometimes Guru Maharaj spoke very wonderfully, he would say, Guru Maharaj and Swami Maharaj, they're looking down upon this transaction and approving and appreciating. They're pleased. So pleasing Sri Guru, that's a living thing. And it's not limited. It's not about physical proximity, but internal, conscious, devotional development and awareness. That brings us in connection in a real and substantial way. Really, we have to learn to live in the plane of our faith. And that's a wonderful thing. The whole Guru Varga is there. When you say the Lord and his paraphernalia, means all the divine devotees. So the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur give us the hope to realize the truth of these matters. faithful adherence brings association and connection, not physical proximity. By hearing and serving, the reality of these things is awakened in the heart. And we realize this is our prospect. It's something exciting. And it's not limited or constricted by time and space considerations. When Kaviraj Goswami or Vrindavan Das Thakur, they're describing these pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and you hear something astonishing, and hopefully it awakens some appreciation, however small, but some appreciation in the heart to feel the fortune of hearing these things, of momentarily realizing their trueness, that they're real, that it's living, it's eternal, nitya lila. And what do they say at the conclusion of the chapter? Often, you know, anyone who hears this and appreciates this, they will inevitably develop Krishna prema. Along those lines they're speaking, because they know what is the power of these things, the reality of it. That's why they've delivered that. And so from what was just expressed, if you appreciated anyone, hearer, someone who heard this with faith, they will get Krishna prema, or they will enter Mahaprabhu's association. Astonishing benedictions accompany these divine descriptions. That's why we're faithful to hear them, whether or not we understand them or not. We're not interested in what is mentally acceptable, mentally, intellectually acceptable within our parameters. But what is given there is perfect. That is what is to be heard. And faithful hearing will awaken some appreciation in the heart, and that will take one into that plane. That's how this works. Now, Pravishtakarna Randrena Swanam Bhavam Savaro Ruham Dunoti Shamalam Krishna Shalilasya Yata Sharat. Karna Randrena, through the ear, like Krishna Karnamritam, nectar from the ear. The Krishna nectar through the medium of sound touches the heart, the deep heart's core. That's why it's important that we have repeated exposure. Shabda Brahma, in its highest expression, Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the heart, the deep heart's core can be touched. Nama Rupa Guna Lila, through sound, then the qualities become apparent. I mean, the form, qualities, and pastimes. But the emphasis being on hearing and reproducing, faithfully reproducing what has been heard. It's transformative. It doesn't require mental comprehension or intellectual comprehension. Within this divine sound and the will of the Vaishnava and Sri Guru is the capacity for appreciation. Sravanadi shuddha chitte koruye udoy, to awaken that sort of appreciation which has been lying dormant, sleeping in the heart. It's not a thing of the past, but or the future, but the eternal present. That's the plane we want to enter. In service to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnava, the Rupa Nuga line. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
A little question from Sulakshana Didi from China. She is asking, when we offer Ganges water to the deity, is it same Ganges or some energy of Ganges appear in this water?
Well, again, that's according to the capacity of the person offering. It's all, there's gradation everywhere in and everything. When Advaita Acharya holds his palms, you know, Tulosi Dalamatrena Jalasya Chulakenaba Vikrinite Tanumsham Atma Bhaktavyo Bhaktavatsala, with some tulsi leaves and a palm full of Ganga Jal, he, Mahaprabhu, depending on where you take it, and Chaitanya Bhagavata, he said, I was sleeping in the ocean of milk, and then Advaita woke me up with his calls. So that's the capacity of Advaita Acharya. So then we say, what about us who have no position? Under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, we're engaged in these things. Because what is the Ganga really? As Guru Maharaj says, again, in Sri Guru and His Grace, sometimes, and we've seen in India, the one river, the water from one river is entering the Ganga. Then it's Ganga. Sometimes water from the Ganga going there, somewhere else, taking on another name. He said, so there's a saying, what is it really? The current. Entering that current, it's qualified as such. What is the current? It means a particular devotional current. Rupa Nuga Dhara means one who's the current of the Rupa Nuga line. So everything we hear is meant to be part of and to bring us in connection with that divine current. Whether it's, you know, offering the water, whatever it is we're doing, we want to be in service to that current, to enter into the spirit of that current, the devotional spirit of that current. So we don't think that we are, but it's our aspiration. That is our hope. And the association of Guru and Vaishnav, and in their service, it is our aspiration to serve that current and be a part of that. You say, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi. There must be some connecting thread, some unifying principle. So devotion of a particular quality. Unalloyed, exclusive devotion to Krishna. Not another thing. So we invoke Ganga, Jamuna, Tulsi, Bhakti Devi, and our aspiration to serve. And our thoughts are by serving them, then that'll be the most beneficial position for me. Well, what comes to mind is Guru Maharaj saying, when is that? Bhukti Mukti, the one, Pisachi Hridivartate, saying when the witches of Bhukti and Mukti are in the heart, how can we ask the Divine Lady Bhakti Devi to sit there? So Guru Maharaj is always quoting Hegel saying, die to live. Then no other choice than as we are at present, to die, allow that. Means the encagement, what's imprisoning the soul. That's all it is, to give up the encagement. The soul thrives through service and self-giving and dedication. And is bound and caged by exploiting tendencies. So we realize, then this is beyond my capacity. My only hope is grace, mercy. So Gurudev so often said, become a fit receiver. We hear sometimes great devotees saying, if you want to demonstrate the potency of your mercy, you won't find a better test case subject than me. They can say that with some certainty and honesty. They're saying, you're not going to find anyone more fallen that you could test this on than me. So then I should be first. If you can purify someone like me, then how glorious it will be shown. When Jagai and Madhai were saved, the Yamaraj asked Chitragupta, how sinful were they? Chitragupta records everything. He said, well, if you had, 100,000 Chitraguptas writing sins for a month and you had millions of ears to hear what they were, you couldn't catalog all of their sins. Yamaraj was astonished. All the devatas, and they began to sing and dance. Oh, how glorious are these pastimes! Mahaprabhu and Nityananda liberating with their mercy upon Jagai and Madhai. But later, devotees say, if you're really looking for a proper candidate, look no further than myself. Though they can think like that, still requires something from our side, give some of our energy, of what we have, sacrifice something that we have. Dedicate. Guru Maharaj is always using that word, dedication. To dedicate, we've accumulated some energy, still have some energy in our possession, dedicate that energy in service to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo.